that Kviyat make, and then we'll start talking about how is done or isn't done. I want to return to one point that we mentioned the other day, because I just saw some other interesting things about it. So first of all, in terms of the question of whether we only compel a divorce for the circumstances that are mentioned in Mishnah, or do we expand on it for other things? So I've mentioned that it's a machlokus in general whether we expand on the list that's found in the Mishnah and elsewhere in Shas. But that there is a view that if the couple's not living together, then that also counts. And that I mentioned in one sefer, that view was attributed to a sefer called Zakan Aaron Halevi, or Zakan Aaron, written by Rav Aaron Halevi. You have to say that because there's a more well-known sefer called the Tshuva Zakan Aaron of Rav Aaron Walkin. So in writing, you refer to it as the Zakan Aaron Halevi. And we mentioned that the Rav Shechter Shlita independently has maintained this view, that if the couple is not living together, that's already grounds for compelling a divorce. It's a very, very significant position because it really changes the whole playing field, almost as significantly as accepting Mo'ez Alai, which we were talking about yesterday. Right, we mentioned yesterday that Mo'ez Alai is essentially it could be interpreted as a get-out-of-marriage-free card because the woman can invoke it maybe in almost any circumstance. We discussed yesterday whether that's true or not. But this is also similarly broad because almost pretty much all of the contended situations that we see, all of the big controversial cases, the couple is not living together anymore. So if that's all it takes, then in those circumstances, kfiya should basically be justified. So it's interesting, it's very significant that Rein Rav Shechter is of this opinion. Most others are not, and it's just interesting both to see where it's coming from and where it's not coming from. So, in this Kefir Zakan Aaron, and there are a few others that express this idea as well, that when the Mishnah says that there are some circumstances that we compel a divorce, and implying that there are some that we don't, so that whole discussion is basically saying, okay, what are the kinds of conditions where we say that it's impossible for the woman to live with us? And that the Mishnah lists conditions that rise to that level. And then other things that aren't on that list maybe don't rise to that level. So we don't compel a divorce. But if they're not living together at all, so then these authorities assume that you should say that for sure you should compel a divorce. And in some of the earlier sources you find that this is something to rely upon, b'makom igun. So you might say, well, what do you mean if it's b'makom igun, right? Isn't this whole discussion about igun? The whole discussion is about agunos. So that itself is a clue to the fact that there is sometimes a little bit of a different metzias here, which we'll have to discuss a little bit, that the context of igun, where you have a woman who is neither able to marry somebody else, nor is she with her husband, so she is simply chained and nothing else, that's a little bit of a modern phenomenon. Meaning that to have a cultural setting where the woman is not with her husband anymore and he's moved on or whatever he's doing, and yet she's not able to marry somebody else, it may be that's a significantly different context than what you find in the earlier sources, where when we talk about being kofer a get, maybe we mean essentially the husband is looking to stay with her. The husband is living in the house and wants to keep his wife. And the idea of being kofer means to tell him, sorry, even though you're interested in maintaining this marriage, but you're not allowed to anymore. So that's clearly a radical step. And maybe the situations that we deal with today are not really in that category. Now, it's not necessarily enough to confidently act upon, but it's an important thought. And as we'll get to a little bit later, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Tshuvas, also alludes to a similar idea, that perhaps when we talk about the Get Me'usa, we're talking about forcing someone to literally divorce his wife against his will. But somebody who is, for all intents and purposes, completely separated from her, and it's just a question of him carrying out the actual get process, so then maybe it's kedai to look at that with a different lens, and that may have some implications if that's fully accepted, and that's something that we'll have to see a little bit further. There is also a little bit more support for this point There is also a Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham was one of the Rishonim, who also discussed that if you have a husband and wife, that each one says they don't want each other, but the husband, for whatever reason, doesn't want to give the get. So then Rabbeinu Yerucham writes that after 12 months of separation, which is an idea that you find in the Chazal and the Rishonim, that that's the amount of time that may take to clarify that things are not going to stick, are not going to be able to be fixed. So then it could be kofah him to divorce her. So that's an important position also in the Rishonim. Happens to be other Rishonim probably disagree. And the Sefer Eilu Shekof from the Hotzi, he quotes this view, and he quotes that there are other Rishonim that probably do disagree. He also, elsewhere in the Sefer, he quotes, so the one place early in the Sefer, he quotes that Zakan Aaron that we mentioned a few minutes ago. And later in the Sefer, he quotes a different Malkiel that says the opposite. So it's just interesting that he doesn't even mention that they really contradict each other. But it's reflective of the fact that there is a lot of debate about this, but there is a significant view out there, maybe still a relatively minority view, but there's a significant view out there that does recognize this possibility. Chaim Pelagi, in one of his farm, Chaim Pelagi was a great goan of a few centuries ago, so he maintained that after 18 months that one should assume that you could be kofa a get, if it's clear that there's not going to be any hope for a resolution. Rav Nosson Gishtetner, I think we mentioned, had a tshuva where he said he doesn't see how that's possible. That would seem to be a get meusa, according to him. And the Tzitz Eliezer also took that view. Tzitz Eliezer quotes us from Chaim Pelagi, and he says that, with all due respect to him, he seems to be a das yachid, and the fact that we've seen so much argumentation and so much discussion about what qualifies and what doesn't qualify, so perhaps that shows that this is not the attitude we take, that even if they're not living together, then still kfiya is only justified when it's justified for other reasons, is not justified based on that. And then he thought maybe even Chaim Pelagi himself didn't actually mean actual kfiya, he meant that we should orchestrate the circumstances so that there'll be a voluntary get. So this is continues to be a big machlokas. This continues to be a big issue, but it's very significant that there is, you know, probably more than a das yachid. It doesn't seem like it's just Rav Chaim Pelagi. It seems like there is a few Rishonim and a few Achronim, and at least one posik very important to our yeshiva, who would maintain that kfiya could be justified in pretty much all of the circumstances that we're talking about. And again, that also highlights that maybe the context is significantly different than it was in those days, because the whole language of saying, well, b'makom igun, maybe we could rely on this, means that we're not starting from a position of igun. We're not starting from a position where we're dealing with a woman who is essentially stranded in nowhere's land, in no man's land, with no actual husband and no other husband being possible, but it was more a context where there was an existing marriage of some sort. And the question is, can you nonetheless tell the husband that he has to set her free? Not that there are no cases like this today, but these are very often the cases, most of the cases that you hear about are situations like that. And as Rabbi Willick pointed out, even though he himself was not ready to endorse this position because he considered it to be very much a minority view, but it would give it very significant extra support to the prenup, which we haven't explained yet. But the prenup, where there is a machlokas, whether or not there is some objection to the prenup that maybe it constitutes kfiya, we'll discuss that that's not necessarily how we see it. But if this position is true, so the prenup only kicks in when the family, when the couple's not living together, so then it wouldn't even matter if it was kfiya, because that circumstance would justify kfiya. So that's in terms of that. But in terms of some of the other details that are discussed, so there's also the question, for example, what about if it's impossible for them to have a physical relationship? What if he's physically incapable of providing that for her? So that, there was again a machlokas, the Mechaber Nama, the Mechaber brought two days, but many of the Rishonim already said that that's essentially one of the definitions of marriage. So if it's impossible, then it should be something that you can be kofa for. And then the Rama has a discussion about whether or not that's something that has to be proven. In some of the contemporary literatures, you find medical evidence cited based on this point, but in the Rishonim, where it was not necessarily so easily assessed medically, so the question is, if the woman claims this, so do we believe her or not? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a view that she is nemenis based on this, and the Ramah quotes Machlokas about this, that maybe nowadays we assume that the woman will say whatever she wants, and she won't necessarily be telling the truth. Maybe it depends. So the Beis Shmuel on the side of the page of the Shulchan Aruch, this is to give a little bit of synergy for those who are in the shiur during the year, a little bit of synergy for the first semester to the second semester. Because why should she be ne'emenis? So you guys remember that at the beginning of the Zman last year, so it was past year, so we learned the second parak of Ksubas. So if you recall, there's a little chazara from there. So principles of ne'emenis. So one of the principles of ne'emenis sometimes is, we know we talk about Ha'aza, we talk about that if a person wouldn't be too brazen to say something that is going to be either contradicted or is going to have some other element of chutzpah required to say it. So one of the issues you find in the Rishonim is that maybe a person wouldn't be so brazen to say something when the other party knows they're not telling the truth. So if she's willing to say this in front of her husband, then her husband, and assuming that that's the circumstance, which is also maybe necessary, and the husband's going to know whether she's lying or not, even if the other party won't, that requires a certain amount of chutzpah, which we don't attribute to everybody. So the Beis Shmuel explains that's why we would assume that she is ne'emenis with such a claim. So that goes to the heart of the belief that that's basically one of the definitions of marriage, and if that's not present, so then the marriage essentially doesn't exist. And then that also goes to the question of what those basic elements are. So just also to take this point a little further about the physical component of the relationship. So the Shach, in general, we'll probably mention a few more times, the Shach has a sefer called Gvuras Anashim, which is happens to be, that's the phrase that's used to say the husband doesn't have Gvuras Anashim. And that's their way of saying she's not physically capable of carrying out his marital responsibilities. But the Shach also wrote a sefer called Gvuras Anashim, where he talks about these issues a lot, of Kfiyah Begat and the like. The Shach happens to be very machmir about this. The Shach is often quoted, depending on what side you want to go. So the Shach is very hesitant to allow Kfiyah, even in circumstances where many others do allow Kfiyah. So one of the things that he writes is he thinks that if it's just even, let's say, there's no possibility of a physical relationship, or he's not supporting her, if it's one or the other, even though many poskim would allow kfiya based on either of those elements, so the Shach is not willing to allow kfiya just for one of those missing elements. And he's more machmir about that. And there's a big literature about whether we should accept the view of the Shach or not.
Right, so it
sounds like that if there's nothing at all, then it's harder to say that they can't be kfiya. But if there's either a lack of the physical intimacy possible, or there's a lack of any support, so the Shach wasn't willing to allow, he acknowledges that there are those who do allow, but he wasn't willing to allow based on that. And that's often very much invoked in the contemporary machlokis. The Shach says not to do it, and others say, I don't accept that Shach. So, for example, the Chassam Sofer was quoted as not accepting this view because there is a Tosfos in the beginning of Zvachim. I don't know if anybody's Rav Shach is giving Sherman Zvachim, then we got the first part. So the first is the Tosfos in the very beginning of Zvachim. I think we spoke about this in Parshas here this year, maybe one of the times, maybe Parshas Vayikra, that it's very relevant to Gittin. The first Mishnah in Zvachim says that there is a concept of Kavana by a Karban, or Lashma rather, it's a different term, Lashma, that a Karban has to be Lashma. And we see from the Gemara, there's also a concept of Stama Lashma, that if you don't have any declared intent for a Karban, we assume that the Karban has the proper direction, the proper Lashma. So Tosfos discusses that when it comes to a Get, we don't say that. A Get has to be written Lashma. And we don't have this principle of Stama Lashma. So the Gemara talks about this, Tosfos discusses it a little bit more, that the distinction is that a korban basically exists to be brought as a korban. So we can assume that it has the stama lishma, that the default position is that it's for its own purpose. But an isha, lav l'gerushin omedes, that we don't assume that the average wife is waiting to be divorced. So, therefore, that doesn't necessarily attach an automatic lishma status for a get. So, Tosfos discusses, well, is that true? What if she was mezana? All right, let's say she had an affair. So if she had an affair, so they're not allowed to be together, he has to divorce her. So Tosfos basically answers that no, even then, he doesn't necessarily have to divorce her, he just has to, he's not allowed to have relations with her, but there's not actually a chiyuv to divorce her. Which was the topic of a famous tshuva by the Noda Bihuda. The Noda Bihuda and his tshuvas discusses a crazy adultery, incest, horrible scandal situation. If you noticed, and I remember Schechter commented on this once also, that if you read through the Shuvah's Noda Bihuda, you're like, what was going on in Prague? I remember Schechter commenting once that Prague was like New York, it was like, you know, just like crazy stuff going on. So there was a shayla about this guy, he was actually mezana with his mother-in-law, and then he realized that was a bad idea, so... he stopped doing that and he did tshuva, but then the question is, so really his mother-in-law and his father-in-law are now prohibited to each other. So, but the father doesn't know. So the question is he mechuyev to tell his father-in-law? Do we say it's the kavod abrios, the shogeg? It's an important tshuva about kavod abrios. He talks about, do we say that? Because it's going to be a big scandal to the prominent family and they're going to have to get divorced and everyone's going to know. So since the husband doesn't know what's going on, so can we keep him in the dark and should be shogeg? So one of the things the Noda Bihuda discusses is from this Tosfos that no, they're not actually mechuyev to get divorced. They're just not allowed to be together physically anymore. So if they want to stay married and not be intimate, so then that's okay. So then they don't have to have a big scandal. So the Chassam Sofer, in his solution to Nedarim, to the end of Nedarim, that film which started Nedarim to the end of Nedarim, the Chassam Sofer has a comment that he says that that's only true assuming that she's not asking for a get. But if she is asking for a get, if she says she wants to leave, so then he is mechuyev to provide it. So he's apparently understanding, not like the Shach, he's saying that if there's no possibility of a physical relationship between them, so then that's enough. And keeping in mind, of course, you actually already had an affair with somebody else. You have to figure out how that plays into the whole equation. But that itself could be justification for kfiyah. That's how the Chassam Sofer understood against the Shach, that this is itself alone enough to make that the declaration. So then you also find that this is also relevant to the question of if the husband says he's not going to support her. So that's also what the Shach discussed, that if he just says he's not going to support her, the Shach wasn't willing to rely on that by itself. But there also, so you find that many feel that does qualify. It's what the Yerushalmi sounds like, we talked about the other day, and the Shulchan Aruch discusses this as well. And that the Pesach Yeshuva quotes the Shach over there. And also notes that maybe it depends. Well, why is he not supporting her? He's not supporting her because he doesn't want to. He's not supporting her because he can't. Does it make a difference? What if he could be working? What if he can't be working? So all of that is also a part of the whole debate. And then that also gets into the topic that we alluded to yesterday, that what if he is in jail? So if he's put in jail for a lengthy period of time, so many assume that that's basis for kfiyah, because of the inability then to either provide any physical companionship or the ability to provide for her financially, presumably, that should also be justification. So our sponsor, Bitzkel Chanan, talks about that in his tshuvas, as Shachter calls him, the Oni Gyontif has a tshuva about this. And once again, the Shach, it's a little unclear what his position would be. There's also a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, which is related, that let's say the husband, for whatever reason, he gets in trouble with a mob or whatever it is, so it's not really safe for him to stay where he is. So they got married and they decided to live in Washington Heights, and now it's not safe for the husband to live there. So he's got to go to Brazil. So is that enough? So then the question is, well, even though there's a machlokas about that, but maybe the machlokas is only because she could choose if she wants to live, if she wants to, she could go to Brazil with him. So if she doesn't want to go to Brazil, she wants to stay where they started off, so then maybe that makes it a little bit of a question. But if he's going off to jail, and it's not even shy for her to join him, so then maybe that's all the more so grounds for kfiyah. So all of this is a major discussion. There's still more to say about this. We won't talk about this forever, but I mentioned yesterday, any of you get a chance to look at this Ramah? Okay, so we'll look at it a little bit together. The Ramah, we'll just skip around a little bit, but just to illustrate again, so those who weren't here yesterday, I gave a little bit of introduction to this Ramah. So this just highlights a little bit the complexity of this issue, because the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch is generally assumed to not accept the view of the Rambam. That the Rambam, which we discussed yesterday, the Rambam maintains that Mois Alai, that if the husband finds the wife, if the wife finds the husband repulsive and says, I just can't be with him anymore for whatever reason, that's how it sounds like, so then that's grounds for kfiyah. And it was a question whether that's accepted the halach or not. So it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah that they don't accept this. That she's not obligated to be physically intimate with him if she finds him disgusting, but that's not enough to compel a divorce. But the Ramah does discuss this in a little more length in his Tshuvas. So let's just look at this a little bit together. So we'll skip around, but just to give you a sense of what he's saying, Nishalti al Rachel bas Tamar Chacham. It's a situation of a Tamar Chacham's daughter named Rachel. Shenis or Rachel's a young woman. So either way, Shenisays Vienzia. I think it's in Venice. LeRuven, Shehum ibnei Prague. She married Ruven, who is from Prague. V'hasnu Shiyamot Shana Achad beVienna, Lazonis Ishto, and he made it tonight that he'll stay a year in Vienna, that he can support his wife beBeis Chamav in the father-in-law's house. V'alecheshneim Acharkach lePrague, and then after that, a year after that, they would go together to Prague. U'v'socha Shana he. Pizer v'chila kol nedunyas yishto, and in that first year he used up all of the money. V'chomash and osim lo aviv, everything that she brought into the marriage and everything that the father gave, this husband got rid of it all. V'halach bedrachim lo tovim, ad ki nimseis gneva biyado, and he followed a bad path until we see that he's a ganav. V'kvushas ganav ki imsa halach lo liyar Prague v'hulavado, so he went off to Prague by himself. V'gam shom asal pimidosav, and there he continued with his existing patterns. Kinischaber l'osu ziyuf chosam amalchus v'nitpas v'ara ziyuf ahu. So he got involved in some type of terrible immorality, and then he got arrested for that. V'huchrach l'vroach gam misham, and then he had to run from there as well. Zek hamashanim machma sakonas nafsho. So he had to run away from there. Now a couple years he's been running away. V'halach nav v'nad ba'aretz, and he's been wandering around who knows where. V'sol chazman chaz levitzia, and then he eventually came back to Venice. V'nolo lo ben, and a son was born to him. V'ata kibin yudbeiz yudgimel, the son is now 12 or 13. V'sol chzman zel lo shalach lehamizonos lozunam lefarnason, and all this time he did not send any food for them, any sustenance for them to support them. Rak Amdu Tamil Base at Tamil Chacham Mulhotzaosav. They stayed with the Tamil Chacham. Lofam Hayachos Vienza Beidem Rekagdis. And sometimes he'd come back to Venice with empty hands. Begam Lodlo Bas Psochas Manzeh. They also had a daughter. Elod Chayim Lachoy Yisrael Shavka. She passed away. Vizad Darko Ksolo Bevakash Nimudo. Venemot Nimsa Gunavo Kavyostas. My first son, Mshtadli Erez Ashkaz Masab Anse Prague. Mavada Verish Nirad Mako. Meniglis to come to Adam. So he's done terrible things, both Ben Adam Makom and Adam Machavero. Clearly, this is not a prize catch of a guy, and he's got himself in all kinds of trouble. He hasn't kept his word. He's committed crimes. He's been involved in morality, and he has not supported his family. So now his wife Rachel is complaining, and she's telling everybody, "Shimtzu eiz a truful machalaso. Find me something else to do. Find me a solution to this problem." Kilis daveg imisha asher elolo yafshim lekvudo v'chad beis aviyah. She can't be with a guy like this. This is not b'chavid for her. It's not b'chavid for her family. Ve'ein lecha tainis mois alai gadol mizeh. So there's no greater mois alai than this. It's a significant language that the Ramah is saying. There's a lot to learn from this Ramah. It's really surprising that you don't find this Ramah quoted more often, considering that it's the Ramah. So he's telling you a lot about what these terms mean, saying that you don't find a bigger meisus than this. If she's, if she finds that his whole lifestyle is abhorrent to her and her family, so what do you want? V'alechas achar of the Prague, kasher hayahat tanai b'neihem b'shash nisayis yafshar, and to go back with him to Prague as they originally had dealt with Kevin Shabarach Mishal Nachmas Mardin, he ran away from there, so they can't go back to Prague, they can't stay here in Vienna together, this is not the Chavadik, the whole thing is a design. So what should we do? V'zu gedul al kulam, kizei yosmi v'shana she'en azan v'en mefarnas, it's been 12 years that he's not feeding her, he's not supporting her. V'galim aforesim u'she'en lo b'mal azan mefarnas, and everyone knows that he doesn't have what to feed her with. So what, she should die of starvation, or she should be dependent on the community to support he, she and her son? Is that really the plan? So she's asking that we should force the husband to divorce her. So Ibn Marti Lahachnas Raishi Machlokis to Riravi Rishon Yachronim Eshakos Vatais Monis Alai, quotes long yesterday, that if I'm going to try to get involved, says the Ramah, in the Machlokis that exists about Mois Alai, Yare Ani Peni Rotsu as Mochi, I'd be scared that my head would get squashed, Ki Rabu Deus Machmir, because many are Machmir. So this is a significant line, because the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, we basically infer from there that he doesn't accept the Rambam's position that Mois Alai is enough. So here you see he explains his hesitancy about the whole thing. Kamosha Kosov Tor, Evan Ezra, Sofsimanin Zayim, Shemar Mundberg, Zal quotes here from Mar Mundberg, Beir Obit Shuva, Kosov Shkimo Chachme Ashkenaz, Chachme Sarfa, Shibatanis Munisnai, and Lokofla Balagarish, that Mar Mundberg said there's an agreement among the Svarjim and Ashkenaz, Chachme Ashkenaz, Chachme Sarfa, among the French and the German authorities, that we're not going to be Kofa based on Mayas Alai. So we don't actually force a get for these circumstances, and we don't force her to stay with him. It's kind of stuck in the middle. So what did the Rashba write in his Chuvis, considering Meredes? It says, Ki avina bedina de Meredes, lo askis minei, ela kamo demasik tala mibe karba, ki rabba bedinim, in us nisa, there's many different dinim, many different positions. We don't know exactly what to do. Okay. Skip around a little bit. So to force him based on the fact that he's a ganav or he's a sinner, so that we don't have proof that we can rely on that. Because even a mumra lahachis ain't kofenos oligarish olaritzono. That's still not enough. A mumra lahachis is not enough. So the fact that he's an avarian, we don't know if that's enough. And to rely on what the Rush says in his Chuvis, that's not enough to rely on. Because there, what's the Chuva talking about? He hasn't explained yet. The Chuva is talking about a situation where you have a girl from a rich family who was married with a borrowed ring. So basically, he was faking her out because he wasn't really somebody who was on a standard to be able to support somebody from a higher standard of living, and therefore he was faking her out. And so based on that, so that was a reason to say that we should force him. A woman who'd been married for a while with her husband, like the situation, that doesn't tell us that the Rush's position would apply here, that a situation that they're not qualified for each other, or just because he's going in a bad path. Because we see from his other tshuva that we've mentioned that Tainus Mois Alai, according to the Rush, is not enough to act upon. So that because she is disgusted by him because of his behavior, that basically amounts to a Mois Alai, and the Rush's opinion was that's not enough to compel. Okay, so far so good? Everyone following so far? It says, Gam mitam shekasev chacham echad. What about what another chacham said? Shekevin sheyeshu l'kayim mitzvah priyuriyah. Sherei ein lo bas. Doesn't he have a mitzvah to fulfill peruvu? and he only has a son at the moment. He's not allowed to marry anyone else as long as he's married to this first wife. So he's got a mitzvah to do.
Just
yeah.
A side point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true that if you have a daughter but she dies,
then
you
yeah.
have to like, recommit?
You're not Yotze if the children don't live on to the next generation, which makes the whole mitzvah very difficult to know when you're ever in fulfillment. You know, you don't really have any issue for das, but that's the way it's brought in poskim. So since the Maisi needs to have a daughter, so he can't marry anyone else, so why don't we say that? Kaifin oligarsha, ho over whom asks us, so Machmas Romalov. So she's not going to have any children with him, she's disgusted with him. So he's not going to have any shot at having any more children unless he divorces her, because he's not going to have children with her. And he's not going to be allowed to marry anybody else. So then what? So Havi Rayul is Ami Shuvah 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 Moshe, Haksuvah Shuvah Maimonis. Nearly, Shatam Zeh Tafu Mibli Melech, Dehasim Kadesh Sechazra Ba Mayri, Velob Nesuah Sheishim and Aben. We kind of machloks, Besham Yisil, Bemak Bekiyah and Piravia, Betshuvah Hi, Shadab Enag, Besof, Nekasha Kasha, Dabra Kana Sin Takam Aprut says. So this is not enough for various reasons, and it's going to make it too easy for a Prutza to just escape the marriage without just cause. It says, Amna, Mimiesh Raya, Lahavi, Lashkris, Isha, Aguna, Hazos. If there is something we can say for this Aguna, Efshel, Lahavi, Raya, my Shakasa of Tur. The Tur in Evan Ezer, Kufn and Dali, quotes his father, the Rush. Alha Isha, Toenes, Shiakufo, Labala, Shikashanab, Neshu, Muchtav, Lamalchus. Let's say you have a woman who says that she wants her husband to divorce her because the government is out to get him. Huba Reach, Mimakam, Lamakam. Right, this is similar to the situation that we were talking about before. So if you have a situation where he now can't stay in one place because the government's out to get him, the government's going to kill him, so he's running from one place to the other, so what's the story there? So to that, says the Rush, that this matter depends on what the Dayanim discover. If the Dayanim decide that he can't stay in one place because the Sakanas Nefashos, there's no bigger tiny than this. Since he can't stay with her, we alluded to a few minutes ago, right? And she is not obligated to go running with him on the lam to all the different countries he's going to have to go to. Kofanos Olagarsha. So that says the Rush, that you are therefore going to compel him to divorce her. Now, just parenthetically, so this Rush here, so this Rush was discussed by the Zakan Aharon that we mentioned at the beginning of today's shir. Right? The Zakan Aharon had said that if they're not living together, then you can compel a divorce. And if you recall, he said that the cases in the Gemara, those are cases where they're trying to figure out is this a livable circumstance or not. And that if it's not livable, we force a divorce. And if it might be livable, we don't. And then said there's a kanarim. If they're not together at all, the whole discussion doesn't come in. So one of the things he mentioned, he says that's how you see the Rush as not being Soser himself. Because the same Rush, who normally doesn't want to expand the list, but this Rush we just quoted says that if he has to run away, then you could compel a divorce. So why is that not a contradiction? Because it's two different categories completely. That the list is only talking about situations where they could be living together and then we have to figure out what problems are big enough. But if they can't be living together at all, so that's a whole different discussion. That was what the Zakan Aharon HaLevi said, based partially to explain this apparent contradiction in the Rush. So here quotes the Ramah from this Rush that the Torah quotes, and he says, you see, that might be her best case so far. Mikan yesh lahavi raya l'nidon didan. So then you can bring up proof for our situation. V'lomar d'davri yaduah hu she'enu r'shai lam etnei sechanas tefash makom shay adarbo kishenisei stahayna b'prag. That she can't... he can't stay because the Kanafashos were the place where they originally had worked it out that they would live in Prague, so apparently he can't stay in Prague. It's not safe for him there. Shekain Hayat Tanai Ben Emel Halicha Shama Achrei Avar Shon, after the first year was over, that was the plan. V'eina Chayev Eslelach Achrei Lerz Acheres, she's not obligated to go follow him to the ends of the earth. V'lachain Kofen Osol Agarsha, and therefore we can compel to divorce. Sounds good. However, we can also be a little bit unsure about this. But what's written after this? That the Rush also adds that if he's able to stay in this city, even though he's in danger in a different city, so then we don't force the divorce. That maybe in this circumstance, if he's willing to stay in Venice where she is right now, even though he can't go back to Prague, which was the original deal, that maybe that might be a little bit of a wrinkle here that makes the case a little bit more difficult. Lachen yafed on hagon, Ram Padua, Lakufa Isha Zah, Lashu Vansil, Skalgil, and Ishto of No, Kavan Shurishai, Love of Shama, Osh Yishlach Laget. So then he paskin that this, the Ram Padua paskin that this man should come back to Venice and either deal with things or he should send a get. It was there, Yiskaim would differ Harash with Shuva Hanal. And that would accomplish what the Rush said. That if he can be in the city where they are in, so then even though he can't go somewhere else, we're not going to compel. The mashmi toch devar if shem ain't a rosal of obi ira the sibos ma harehu kim uch the malchus gam bira lachen roy lakofu shiaso some mishnayim shiaso achash mishnayim kvas shakas of hagomna now. So you see what he just said here, right? He said that. That theoretically there is a problem here that he's actually safe in Venice. So the Rush also said in his tshuva that if he's in danger somewhere else, but he can stay where they're at, so then that's not grounds for kviya. So why don't we tell this guy so come back to Venice and they can stay married there? So yes, that's true, but that's if he decides not to do that. So if he decides he's not going to come back to Venice, then that should be grounds for kviya because it seems to satisfy both elements of the Rush's truth. V'ulam, yesh lefanei derech acheres l'kuf l'hotza. I think, says the Ramah, there's another derech, another thing to look at. D'hamri in Perek HaMadir, the Gemara says, in Perek HaMadir, k'subas ayin zayin amr aleph, amr rav, ha'omer eni zan v'enim afarnes yotze v'yitin k'suba. If somebody says, I'm not going to support my wife, I'm not going to give her what to eat, so he should divorce her and give her his k'suba. So the Gemara there says that before we necessarily force him to divorce her, we could force him to support her. Just an interesting time, trying to skip a little bit over here. Basic point is that since he's obligated to support her, you can be kofa on the support. Right? And then, essentially, you're going to have a situation where it's one or the other. That when there's a, this is something later posts can bring as well, that when you have a genuine obligation, and a genuine monetary obligation that he's not fulfilling, so then that's for sure grounds for kfiya on that obligation. And part of that kfiya can be that either you'll do this or you'll set her free. So imkein zachinu l'din, skipping around, d'cheven sh'nisei tz'rachol zu kama shonu b'ayla hanicha azuva gamudan b'ana, d'vada kofanos l'hotzi, din b'amiru l'vada, omer nizani mefanis kofanos l'hotzi, kol sh'kein zesh asa maisach zaryas kazeh, Shonim Rabos, Bezdin Rome, Bavadai, Shon Tokonagam, Los, the Pshit Shikosna Solo Hotzi. So, since you basically have this choice, and if he's not going to take the choice, then you can be co for the divorce itself. So, we see what his interest is here in just leaving her completely abandoned, and that's been the pattern for a long time. So, that should be the path. So, he says then, Hare Lano Shnei Drachim, we see we have two paths. Im Lakofal of Olaviensa, Lashloch Laget, that we should either force him to come back to Venice or to send a get. Either we can force him completely that he should divorce her and give her a ksuba because he hasn't supported her all these years. And he also can't do it in the future. He's got no income. So that should be about. Litchos and Kofan Abba Lahaskar Atman Larviach de Lazan Mufarnes, as the Ishto, And even though the Rishonim wrote that they're not so sure that we can force a person to get a job and to make money, that's not necessarily relevant here. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking a situation where the person says he's not going to support, or he does other things that make this sentiment clear. As this disgusting guy has made clear for a long time that that's his position. So that's essentially his point. He's got a little bit more here where he quotes from the Maran Padua. See anything else that we want to add? Okay, so that's yeah, it says and then he should count the 30 days after she gets back and tell him what's going on. If you can't force him to pay for the sustenance for whatever reason, because it's impossible for him to support her, so then that should be the grounds for a divorce. Essentially, this is a very interesting discussion, what he's basically laying out here, that the Mois Alai by itself is a dangerous issue to rely on, but because it's a topic of Machlokes, but we can find other avenues, and basically focused on two, either that the impossibility of him supporting her, so that basically amounts to somebody who has refused to support her, or the issue of it being impossible for him to stay in one place because of the danger that he is under from the Malchus, and since that one place was the place where they had decided to live, so that could be enough, even though it happens to be the place where she's in now, that place they could go to, but he's not necessarily willing to do that, so it amounts to the same thing. So essentially that's how he concludes that that is basis for Kfiyah. So it's just a very interesting insight to how some of these factors are decided. So what we next have to go to now is, so assuming Kfiyah is a big question, so what counts as Kfiyah and what doesn't count as Kfiyah? So how does that exactly affect our behavior nowadays? And also how does that affect strategies such as the prenup and such as the get law, which is a major controversy, and other types of strategies, which God willing we will get to over the next few days. So what we talked about today, talked a little bit more about that issue of if they're separated, if they're not living together, about the Zakan Aaron and the Rosh Hechter, and about the Rabbein Yeruchim, and about the Chaim Palagi, who was argued on by the Laharis Nassan and the Tzitz Eliezer, and then we talked about the Machlokas, about somebody who's not supporting his wife, and about the Yerushalmi about that, and the Machlokas about a man who cannot physically be intimate with his wife, and about her neamanus about that, and about how that relates to the beginning of Maseches Ksubos, and then the question about a husband who was sent to jail, and the implications therein, and whether or not a woman is obligated to, or is she able to force a get if she doesn't want to follow the husband to a different country, if it's possible to do so, and how this tshuva of the Ramah basically drew on all those issues, while also addressing the question that it may not be this whole Mois Alai may not be enough to rely on, but there are other elements, as we just saw. All right, so we will stop here. God willing, tomorrow at 6:30, and it should be only good things. And try to stay dry. Really.